It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
1 o'clock hour, Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. The Chiefs offseason show is coming up on Tuesday. We'll have everybody in the studio. We'll have Bob, Dusty, C-Dot, along with Cody and myself, hanging out, talking all things Chiefs. It starts at 9 a.m. We'll cross over to our show as well. So from 9 to 11, the Chiefs offseason show, and it'll be fun. We really don't have everybody in studio very often, so it'll be a different way for us to talk Chiefs and what we think is going to play out with Kelce, the rest of the coaching staff. Do we agree with Eric Bieniemy coming back, the rest of the division, post-Super Bowl, you name it, free agency. We got it all covered coming up next Tuesday here on 96.5 The Fan.
Should be a good time as always, and like you said, probably a little friendly jabs.
Oh yeah, there'll be some trash talk somehow.
We'll be placed in there.
Uh-huh.
I'd be surprised if that's not the case. Carrington, for the last 2 weeks, has actively been trying to get a hug from me. And I told him. And I told him I'm going to report him to HR if he continues it because this is harassment.
You're going to HR.
I told him, wow. I don't want a
hear
hug.
That?
And he keeps trying to get a hug, Drew. What am I supposed to do? That's the definition of harassment.
Just give him a hug and move on.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what everyone should do. Just concede to their abuser. You know, this is crazy. He's been chasing me down for this hug.
Hmm.
We'll see. We'll see if this works. I want to tell you about in just a minute. We're going to talk the stadium stuff. But in like 5 minutes, can I tell you about a bet I just saw? It feels like such a twist of the knife.
Sure.
It's available for Sunday.
Oh, just, there's like, a lot of those.
Like, just the, give me like five.
The books
five.
Have a sense of humor when it comes to Super Bowl. Yep.
They sure do.
No doubt. We know last night was a big night when it comes to the stadium front in Kansas, and that has to do with the Olathe City Council meeting. Also, the Unified Government of Wyandotte County had a meeting. Now, one of those meetings resulted in a vote. The other one will have a vote tomorrow night. So we had John Holt, Fox 4, join us earlier to give us a breakdown, though, on exactly what these two meetings did yesterday.
Well, it just advanced the ball a little bit, and I think it made it seem even more real for everyone. Up until now, we've just we've heard both sides discuss the pros and cons of what each jurisdiction was doing, what the state was doing. Last night, at least one of the jurisdictions, Olathe, advanced the ball for the headquarters and the practice facility. They approved that district, which is about 165 acres, right off K-10 in Ridgeview, just south of the Garmin soccer complex there, to be the area where a portion, well, it's interesting. We talk about the sales tax funding these separate properties, the stadium and the practice facility. So right now there's no sales tax generated by that location, right? It's an open area. The base is zero. That's what the Commerce Department set it at, and that means that the 1% sales tax of the cities in that area would go toward getting rid of the bonds, paying off those star bonds we've heard a lot about. There's also a provision for part of the county's sales tax to help pay off, and also a transient tax, which is a hotel tax in Olathe, a portion of their transient tax, which tells me the chief would plan to develop a hotel near that site. So that's what happened there. Up in Wyandotte County, the ball will be advanced tomorrow night or not, depending on how the commission votes. Last night it was a special public hearing, normally not scheduled for Tuesday night, but they scheduled it so they could get as many people in as wanted to speak. The plan now is for the commission to meet tomorrow night, Thursday night. They do have an executive session just prior to that meeting. There's no way to know. There's no agenda for it. There's no way to know if that's related to the Starbond District or not, but at any event, at 7 o'clock, they come back in and I think they'll spend a lot of time answering questions or asking questions of staff. Perhaps the State Commerce Department will be there. And then at some point tomorrow night, they are expected to vote. They have until February 20th to get that done. And they do have one more meeting on the 19th. I checked that schedule out. So potentially they could, if they didn't feel like they got the answers they wanted, they could delay it for another couple of weeks. But that would certainly be right up against the deadline. They had 60 days from the date of the announcement in Topeka, December 22nd, to get a deal done.
So there's a good breakdown if you're wondering exactly what on earth was going on last night and what does it mean. Good stuff from John Holt at Fox 4 when he joined us a little bit earlier today. And so now tomorrow we'll see how things play out in Wyandotte County. But as it was mentioned there, this is one part of that. There will be other meetings potentially down the road too, Cody. But I will say I thought in Olathe, and as John said,
yeah,
that was not as like tense as maybe people were expecting it to be.
I kind of thought it might be.
Whereas
because
in Wyandotte County, it was a bit more, and maybe that's also why there wasn't a vote last night.
I just think that, like, when you look at it, I am surprised that it wasn't louder there, just knowing that, I mean, we can all admit that, and that's just when it stopped the deal from happening. There's some blowback.
Always.
There was some real blowback. Because the price tag, again, and this goes back to just the deal. The Kansas City Chiefs probably got the single most favorable stadium deal in NFL history. I don't even think that's hyperbole. Based on what incentives they were offered and the cash that they're going to get out of the state and the county, they got maybe the most favorable, and that they get to, like, essentially just, like, borrow money against paying for their own people back, all the stuff that they got. And so I thought that there was going to be a more public output, but it sounds like it's pretty quiet. You and I, frankly, thought this would be loud enough, that there'd be enough loud voices, that this was something we were going to have to, like, lead the show with, get in immediately, break down with multiple people. And instead, Olathe went, as expected, even though there were more people talking in Wyandotte, it went pretty much as expected, you know, like pretty calm. And then Thursday, they'll vote. And while I think some of them won't vote in favor of this, won't be unanimous like the Olathe one, because of like the normal stuff. Some people aren't going to want to give up the cash and extend the districts the certain way and everything else outside of there. It's still going to pass. And then they're still going to have to work with the county and try to figure this out and everything else in between. But this goes back to like everything else. This is why the Chiefs took this deal in the first place. It's too good of a deal. And Kansas isn't going to say welcome to Kansas and hold a press conference and then not go through the motions to get these things approved.
Someone was asking on the text line, 913-586-7965, saying, hey, is there only one location being considered for the new Chiefs stadium? Yes, it is the site that you may have seen by now, just west of the racetrack, just west of the Legends.
Yeah, 126
is the one site. People got, I think, a little confused on it because if you guys remember, I don't know how many months ago it was, but when that one rendering that was out there, that did not come from the Chiefs. That came from a local architect group that happens to also be selected to help come up with the actual renderings, but that's not the official one. And that site had it positioned, Cody, where it was on, I guess, the east. It would have been east of the Legends. Remember that one?
Yeah.
That site had it looking back toward
that
the Legends.
That was just when they were guessing and they were trying to put out a rendering
was,
for their
yeah,
own.
Yeah, looking from the east toward the west. This is the stadium that would be west of the Legends.
Yeah, and I think that that's probably what, I guess, some of the confusion. But again, the site's already been selected. They were only pitching one site. It's at that 126th and State Avenue. You can see it up on the Chiefs, not the Chiefs website, but any local news outlet.
Because now that you had these meetings, that. It had to become, the location had to become public when you're having these meetings. Because literally they're voting on the site.
Yeah, they technically didn't have to make the decision until the 20th. And so I think some people were surprised the vote was that they selected this early. The Chiefs' deadline to choose wasn't until February 20th. And so they didn't have to make an official site designation, location, selection, or any of that until then. But because they're already in way deep with these architecture firms and the design-based stuff, they all knew and designed the stadium around there. I will say, have you seen the overlay map?
The size difference between the
Truman Sports Complex and the land that they are putting the stadium on? It might be quadruple, septuple. I'm not saying that's all just going to be parking. Some part of it will probably be a hotel in the entertainment district. But yeah, it is like
plenty of room for parking. Plenty of room for tailgating and parking.
So help me.
Yeah.
That if they build a brand new stadium where they can start from ground zero, if they can't figure out how to get me out of New Arrowhead Stadium in less than 4.5 hours, I understand it is hard to figure out how to move cars. Figure it out better this time.
Yeah.
You got a brand new, fresh slate. And like clean slate. I understand that there's only so much you can move a car in a certain amount of time. The traffic exists for a reason. There is no way that it can't be faster than what it takes to get out of Arrowhead.
I agree.
Like, please. I'm not saying this like, or else. I'm just like, please. I'm begging you. I don't want to spend 2 hours leaving Arrowhead on a Sunday or the new Arrowhead.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to call it new Arrowhead.
I wonder, we kind of know exactly where it's going to be at. I wonder if they'll have some sort of a shuttle system where you park at the racetrack, because it's not too far. Like you park at where there is incredible amounts of parking, and NASCAR does a very good job. It takes me 5 minutes to leave once I get to my car. 5 minutes.
That's it?
Yeah.
It takes you 5 minutes. And they get a lot of people in a NASCAR race. So 5 minutes?
Because they got the entire field. It takes me five minutes to get out.
A lot of people at the NASCAR race have their RV and they're just parked there and they're staying for a day or two.
It's way more people who are just in their cars than you think. They have an RV lot, but there are a ton of cars. Is there a shuttle that takes them to the spot and then you walk to your car and it spreads things out a little bit?
Yeah, maybe. Could be, but also remember, they wouldn't get the
tailgating aspect of it as well from a perspective.
And the Chiefs are going to want the money from you parking in their parking lot, not the Kansas Speedway parking.
Speedway
lot,
might offer you a cheap parking option with a shuttle over there.
That might be the move. That might be the move
for sure. Or you get dropped off.
Go spend some money at the Argosy, they might take you over to the current game.
Sounds like it. Just park at Drew's apartment complex and just walk over.
Drew. How far will the stadium be from your current place?
Drew's going to start charging for his parking spot. Because
it's that for legends. I mean, less than 5 minutes? Could you walk?
I don't know. I don't know the exact spot because they've got the racetrack and then they've got like an Urban Outfitters warehouse facility that's right there. And then there's an open area. It's probably about 5 minutes if I had to guess a drive. If I'm thinking of the location,
I don't know the name of your apartment complex. And I don't want you to say that on the air.
It's as far west basically as you can go before you run into nothing on Parallel Parkway.
Yeah, the NASCAR thing, I mean, like, NASCAR is getting 47,000 people at the Speedway these days. It used to be like in the 80s.
Chief Stadium down by like 5,000 to 8,000.
What I'm saying is if it's a 5 minute shuttle and you can cut the parking in half, it's not going to take you 2 hours to leave.
No,
it just won't.
Gosh. Yeah, I don't know why the Chiefs would want to promote a shuttle to their new parking lot and new stadium.
No. I think if that happened to be the way I said, where the Speedway's offering that as a cheaper parking option,
which I would absolutely take,
and I'll shuttle you over.
100%.
People can snatch each other's businesses. There's no
rather
like
pay
rule,
$80 or whatever.
Sign an agreement that I won't try to. Now. I mean, you know, same as like
but they can still make it a pain in your ass. Like, I mean, you look at Arrowhead, and I think it's Lyft they have the deal with. Lyft gets to park in a certain spot to drop you off versus Uber. It cannot drop you off in the same spot. So they can do that kind of stuff.
They can make it hard on you, yes. But I imagine those companies will still figure out a way to do it. I had mentioned that there was a bet over on one of the sports wagering sites that I think was the single, maybe one of the biggest twist of the knife's bet I've ever seen. They have a bet right now. It's like 5.5 to 1 on either side that will the Seattle Seahawks score a passing touchdown from the 1 yard line or a rushing touchdown from the 1 yard
line. That's great.
And Drew and I, or Alex and I, were talking in the break, Drew. If that exact same situation came up in the game, what do you do if you're Seattle? Because I think both people will be like, well, they have to run it this time. They have to learn their lesson and just punch it in with Kenneth Walker and do it. But then it's like, but they think we're going to run. So do we have to actually pass in order to throw him off?
No,
and then the other coach is thinking the exact same thing. I dream of this scenario now.
It'd be fun.
Because specifically against these two teams, it would be very fun.
If it were somehow still Belichick and Carroll coaching and either one of them were in the spot, then yes, they would think about it. But I don't think for a second Mike Vrabel's like, oh, they got the ball at the two. Remember what happened last time? I don't think that's populating in their head.
I don't think the coaches are thinking it, but I'll tell you, if you told me I could live bet it in that exact moment, I would bet that they run the ball. I guess is what I would say.
I think they would actually pass.
You think they would just pass again? Then in that case, I hope it's another interception, because that would also be epic.
Oh, man.
I hope it's another interception. I hope it's Christian Gonzalez picking off Sam Darnold.
And then you got to hear about Patriots fans again? I'm surprised you said that.
I'm not saying late in the game.
Mostly just for the entertainment.
At any moment in the game, if it's first and goal at the one or whatever the down was.
I guess the other dream would be it's in reverse. And the Patriots are at the 1 yard line, and instead of handing it off, Vrabel has them throw a slant to the middle, and Seattle picks it off, and they get the reverse revenge. That would also be good, wouldn't it? I'll take the opposite.
I
just love that those are the kind of bets that you only get for games like this. That's what makes it like a holiday of sorts for people who do like to wager in those regards, because they don't give me some other choice to be like, will the Seahawks score a touchdown from the 1 yard line on a run play. They're only doing that because of their history in the Super Bowl against each other. I only get that in these one-off things.
Somebody said they've gone to Arrowhead 20 plus games and never took more than 30 minutes to get out. BS.
Where?
There is no chance that happened. Okay, so no way.
So I have a question for that person. Where are you parking?
Also,
and tell me privately, because I'd like to keep this secret amongst us. Tell me where you're parking and how you're doing that. I would
Also, people are just not accurate about the Speedway attendance. Drew, you might have said it was a sellout, but like it's not what it was in 2002. They reduced capacity, so it is not 80,000 people.
I don't know what capacity is. If it's 60,000 people, they sell out in the forest.
It was 64,000. It's 48,000 as of 2019.
They probably they would fill up, based on the reports, they'd fill up 2/3 of the Chiefs Stadium single-handedly in that parking lot.
I don't have any idea. I don't even want to pretend like I was going to interject.
Getting out in 30 minutes is insane.
Gold, I don't know how many people.
Getting out in 30 minutes at Arrowhead is impossible.
The quickest, as a fan, I have gotten out of the Arrowhead parking lot is maybe 35 to 45 minutes.
And you hopped a curb. Admit it.
We were in a line.
You drove through a part of the line that wasn't a normal line.
Had to be a little aggressive, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Drew,
you were there with me. You just experienced it with me. What are you even talking about?
It was bumper to bumper traffic.
We were going to be sitting for another 40 minutes, and I said, screw it. At that point, I had a bigger vehicle is why I was driving, so I said, screw it. So we went up and said, we got to get the heck out of here, we did.
Like, there's times when it's taken me longer than 30 minutes to get out of there, and I covered the game. So I was there. I talked to the coaches, the players, I went up to the media room and sent some audio back, then went down to my car an hour after the game had finished, and I still had to wait 30 minutes to leave. So if you guys are parking in a different spot than me, please tell me privately of your excellent parking spots.
Yeah,
there you go. I would like to know. Somebody's already telling me. I already got a message saying which lot. Okay. I mean, maybe we're doing it wrong, Gold. I don't know.
Well, now I go as media usually, so their lot's cleared by the time I get out of there. Then it's easy. You know what I mean? Like, by the time I get there, all you see is trash all over the parking lot by the time we get out. It's just covered in trash.
Someone says
they park on a sidewalk by a gate. Well, yeah, that's not really even in the lot. I mean, that's like, yes, if you're right next to the gate.
Somebody says, how's Shawnee Mission Ford here about this aggressive driving you're doing in the Arrowhead parking lot? Are they listening right now? Should they be a little concerned about the aggressive
nature? The F-150 may... Actually, Drew, we didn't even have to pop a curb. Drew was with me. He can attest. We did not even have to pop a curb to get out of there. We just decided to use the fact that we had a bigger vehicle, and we moved up a little bit. That's all.
Okay.
And we were out very quickly. That's it.
There's all kinds
sometimes
of
you got to do that. Sorry. Somebody else does it as well. You know, it is what it is. Everybody's got to be in it for themselves, leaving the parking lot, unfortunately. If you're passive, you're going to be sitting there for an hour.
Somebody said, I got out of the Arrowhead parking lot in under 30 minutes in 2012.
Someone says, Cody, Mr. Cruise Control and 35 mile per hour over here.
Oh, parking lot is maybe the only aggressive driving I do. When I'm trying to leave a... But also, like, I also just kind of accept my fate sometimes. When the cars are sitting bumper to bumper, what am I going to do? This is just a regular traffic thing, but it's the same thing applies. I had what I would describe as a genuinely euphoric moment driving home from UMKC last week. I'm driving home from UMKC. Okay. Traffic's all backed up, so I take the back way home. So I'm coming down Shoto instead of, like, taking 35 the whole way. I'm coming down Shoto, and there's this one a-hole in his car, his big old... gassed up truck, weaving in and out, across, honked at me as I stopped at a, and I want to be very clear, red light. I didn't run a red light.
How slow were you driving before?
The light was red two cars before me. So two people, I would say, went through a red light to turn. I stopped at said red light to turn left on Shoto, as you should. This guy honked at me that he didn't go through. Then we spent the rest of the time on Shoto. He's weaving in and out, trying to get through everybody. It's traffic. He can't do it. And I swear to you that I got all the way down Shoto. And although I didn't know, this guy's getting nowhere. I'm driving the normal speed. He gets no further ahead of me.
Okay.
We get up to Shoto, and there's a lane closed in the right lane because there was a car that was stalled. And this guy tried to get in front of me, and I flipped him off, and I drove through, and he missed the next light. And it brought me, I'm not kidding, joy.
You flipped off.
Genuine joy. I cost him the light. That man was driving like an absolute lunatic trying to get further ahead, and he got stuck at a light that I got through, and it brought, it was borderline sexual experience. It was the best I felt driving in years.
Really? You thought it was that good? Oh, wow. That was a drop from Bob in the system. I don't know.
What was that?
That's a drop from Bob in the system.
You had a borderline, as you called it, sexual experience driving your vehicle.
Drew. I really dislike people who like try to weave in and I don't understand it and they get nowhere.
Text line says, hey, I was just trying to say hello, Cody. You're flipping off our listeners now.
No. Driving like an absolute lunatic the entire time. Does it bring me joy when like somebody who's driving 95 miles an hour, possibly causing wrecks, get pulled over? Hell yes, it does. This person got a comeuppance. Felt nice. I liked seeing them suffer in traffic after all their attempts to wreck the rest of us. My honest opinion, weasel. It was borderline sexual experience.
That was good.
Somebody wants to just put me in a plane and give me a parachute, I'll jump.
I'm telling you, man.
Hold on. Well,
I enjoyed it.
This was better than riding in the blimp or than rappelling down Arrowhead or anything like that?
It's like, and everybody's got a different feeling on this, but I genuinely do not, like, the recklessness in which, and look, you can say I'm a boring driver, that's fine, but the recklessness some people are willing to drive in order to try to shave, I don't know, 22 seconds off their commute because their time's just so much more valuable than yours is insane to me. And this person honked at me, weaved in and out, almost wrecked like four different times trying to get down Shoto. For me to get ahead of him and for me to cost him that light and not let him into traffic,
it made you happy.
It made me genuinely
happy. There have been moments where it's fun to see somebody haul it by you just to come up to a red light and you pull right up next to him and it feels good, but I don't know if it feels that good.
Someone says, be careful. People are crazy and like to pull guns during road rage incidents.
We've talked
that
about
that. Happened to Alex.
It happened to me. This was a couple
years
ago. I've
had someone threaten me with a gun in a road raid incident.
They said,
I wish I had my gun.
At an intersection on a random Sunday morning, calm Sunday morning, holiday weekend, as a matter of fact. And the light had changed green. I didn't even honk yet. It had been 5 seconds. I didn't honk. I definitely, in my own vehicle, put my hands up like, what are you doing? Didn't even honk. Eventually, the person just, you know, slams on the gas and drives off because they realize they messed up and I guess they were whatever. So they drive up. We move on with our lives.
Yeah,
I'm trying to turn over into a shopping center. This guy, as we're on a main street, slows down in the lane to my right because he already moves over a lane. He rolls his window down and brandishes a gun and just kind of looks up. Indiana plates or Illinois plates. Out of towner. I should have got the plates. I didn't. To this day, it drives me crazy. I didn't get to report this
and criminal,
son of a gun.
Criminal threatening or whatever.
Yeah.
The guy who did it to me, I was like pulling into a parking lot at Quick Trip. And he just stopped for no reason. And I did one of these. I swear to you, I didn't honk or anything. I just did one of these in the car like, eh. You know, Gold, that like, if you're watching video, that like slight hand gesture where you're like a little annoyed somebody stopped the way you didn't want. Normal stuff. Wasn't mad. I pull into my parking spot and this gentleman tapped on my window. And I'm like, can I help you? He's like, you're lucky I don't have my gun. I'm like, easy there, pal. We're in the Quick Trip parking
lot. You pulled out, you used pal.
Like, I just said,
that's one of those situations.
I said, okay. And I just roll up my window, like, not going to deal with this lunatic.
If somebody's just riding the bumper and then they get out of the way and they kind of haul it, I'll wave to them as they go by, you know? Hope you get where you're going to.
So there you go. Huh.
Somebody says, Mythbusters proved driving reckless saves the same amount of time as you driving the normal speed limit. Thank you, Mythbusters, for proving my point.
Some says, what was he bad at you for, Gold? Did he threaten you for not honking? No, I think he noticed that I put my hands up.
And what are you doing?
That irritated him.
Somebody says, stay out of the fast lane, Cody. It's called the fast lane. I was on Shoto Trafficway. There's not a fast lane.
Yeah.
I was coming down the outer road there by Rieger.
Quit going 39 and a 45, Cody.
Cody is known to, when it's 40, to turn on cruise control. And that's a wild thing to do.
But not in this case, as we're going in the flow here.
But this guy obviously was ridiculous.
Oh, man, it really did. I'm still, you know what? That's going to bring me joy for years, maybe even. That personal driving experience.
It's a listener of ours.
Well, that guy shouldn't have been driving like a jerk.
Oh, man.
That's how I feel.
I can't believe you called it that.
I mean, dude, it was insane. It was borderline sexual experience. Yeah, I stand by that.
Up next.
It's crazy.
We will get to what's trending. And earlier today, Ross Tucker from Santa Clara, from Radio Row, joined us to tell us what he makes of this matchup, set the scene a little bit. He also fired a shot toward me at the very beginning of the interview. You'll hear that next.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Number number one on what's trending. NBA trade deadline is tomorrow, but we've got activity again today after a trade last night that sent James Harden to the Cavs. Today, Anthony Davis, part of a trade involving 5 draft picks, what, 8 players. Anthony Davis traded to the Washington Wizards. So he only was with Dallas for about a calendar year. That was it. He's also struggled to stay healthy. Also, other reports saying that LeBron James is expected to stay in LA the rest of the year. So if you thought there was a way where he was going to get traded, doesn't look like that's going to happen. The big name everybody's watching is whether or not Giannis gets traded by tomorrow's deadline. Otherwise, that will happen in the summer.
Gotta say, if this was 2019, Anthony Davis and Trae Young in Washington, woo, what a squad that would be.
Yep.
You can roll back the clock. Hell, if they could just keep Anthony Davis healthy, they're certainly better in that regards. But they gave him a lot to get him, and it,
they'll have a top pick again. They might be able to, with the lottery, get Devonta, maybe.
Then you build a little bit of a squad, but yeah, just generally
hoping
speaking,
your Pacers
like
can get in position to draft one of those guys, man.
Give me Darren Peterson all day. Along with Hallie, please.
That would be fun.
Let's the rest of Russ, like when they get Halliburton back, that'd be the way to do it. It's like getting Andrew Luck when you got Peyton Manning hurt. Next up on What's Trending, the Lion fan accused of using racist language in the DK Metcalf altercation. He's filed a $100 million defamation lawsuit claiming that all these different entities, including different podcasts and TV networks and DK Metcalf himself, have hurt his image irreparably. You might remember the way he showed up with that lawyer and all that stuff at that press conference he held. It was all so absurd anyway. It was always going to end this way. I don't know if he'll win the lawsuit. He just seems like a ridiculous person. This seems like a ridiculous lawsuit.
Elsewhere, what's trending? It's now official. Argentina, the soccer club, will be in Kansas City for base camp. The reigning World Cup champs now known. There was speculation for a couple weeks on this, but Messi and the team will base camp at the Sporting KC practice facility. We don't know where they're staying. We kind of know the report about the England national team will be at a hotel in Prairie Village.
Some boutique hotel. Yeah,
a nice hotel. But England, Argentina, already now officially locked in.
Two more expected for base camps here in Kansas City, but not official yet. Next up on What's Trending, sad news in the sports world. The Washington Post has eliminated its entire sports department, a part of a mass layoff for the paper that includes 1/3 of its entire staff. The Washington Post, if you don't know, is one of the most historic sports departments in the world and certainly in this country. To see it completely eliminated, I think, is a very sad day for sports coverage. And shocking, you're right. Four pro teams, sport town. No sports paper at the Post?
Yeah, it's unbelievable, crazy, honestly. Crazy. Lastly, on What's Trending, Nathaniel Hackett, you remember that name? Former Broncos head coach?
Yeah, I mean, hard to forget him. He had a terrible run.
He has reportedly been hired as the next offensive coordinator for the Cardinals, which is interesting. We know Matt LaFleur was just named Matt LaFleur. Yeah, Mike, sorry.
Mike LaFleur.
I'm going to do that. So it's going to drive me crazy. Mike LaFleur is the head coach, and now he has his offensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett. That was the guy in Denver that was in it over his head, that couldn't make it work, that ultimately they hired him to begin with because they thought they were getting Aaron Rodgers. Instead, they got Russell Wilson, and it was just a complete disaster.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I mean, really, 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 really bad.
That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Of course, the Super Bowl taking place Sunday out in Santa Clara. Radio Row festivities maybe heating up a little bit today. Ross Tucker is out in California. Was kind enough to call into the show. Ross Tucker podcast. Check out the Ross Tucker football podcast. And we started our conversation talking to him a little bit about the festivities. And of course, you know, Valentine's Day is coming up. And he just had a fire shot in my direction, you know?
So well, Alex is currently
single. I'm single, so I'm off the hook, Ross. I'm off the hook.
Alex, you're always single. What's your deal?
Well, that's a hell of a drop that's going to be used for a future promo.
Honestly,
thank you,
Ross. Keen observation, and we've discussed it on the show, but we have yet to come
can
up
I
with
tell
a solution
you something?
For Alex.
Can
yet.
I tell you something, Ross? We actually, and the boss is going to hate me for this one, we had a dating show planned. We were going to do an on-air dating show, and corporate lawyers completely ruined the whole thing. So,
what happened to it?
Corporate lawyers got in the way. They wouldn't. They were worried Alex was, wasn't safe to be around.
You know. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's rough.
You know, it's tough when corporate tells you that. You know, versus just the rest of us.
But Cody, you're right about Cody.
I have not purchased anything for Valentine's Day.
And our producer Drew's in the same boat. I mean, they got to figure something out here pretty quick. I think you gave him a good option as well. How is Radio Row so far? I don't know how many of these you've been on at this point in time, but usually Wednesdays where it starts to turn a little bit is how's the Bay Area handling all this?
It's I've probably been doing this for like 15 years, but it is
It is hopping right now, man. I mean, hopping. It's been hopping the last couple of days. It feels like it's as busy as it's ever been, to be honest with you, which is interesting because it felt like it was totally dead, absolutely dead at opening night. It was by far the least people, least amount of people I've ever seen at opening night.
Wow.
So it's weird how it's changed. I think it's because it was in Santa Clara and in San Jose, and not a lot of people wanted to do a shuttle for over an hour to go talk to these guys. So that's my guess. I don't really love opening night. I don't even know if I'm going to go anymore. It's just annoying to, like, have to push beat writers out of the way to ask a guy a question, you know?
No, it is hard.
I don't mind pushing people like you guys around a little bit. It's kind of fun, but...
You're a bigger guy, too, though, so you got an advantage here. I mean, I don't know. You should thrive in that environment.
Yeah, I do, but it's like I get claustrophobic. And so what I do, I have no interest in, like, talking with these people that, like, going to the podium for, you know, to ask one question of Stephon Diggs.
Right.
What's that going to do for me? You know, I grab, like, assistant coaches that nobody else is talking to and have, like, a good 10-minute, like, real conversation that I can actually use on my podcast.
When you look at the rest of, like, I guess this week, Wednesday's when I start kicking into, like, game-related stuff. We're going to talk about it here in just a little bit, so I'm curious what you think, Ross. Where do you think the mismatches lie in this game? Because I'm actually surprised the Patriots are one of the few teams who might have some corners who can at least slow down JSN. We talk a little about the offensive line. What do you think the problems are for either team in this game?
Well, I think let's start with it's been a struggle for the Patriots offensive line a little bit, and in particular, Will Campbell. Those guys have not played great. And so having to go against this Seahawks D-line. Now, I will say, on some level, the strength of the Seahawks D-line, they're interior guys, I feel like. You know, Byron Murphy and Leonard Williams, and to a little bit of a lesser extent, Jaron Reed. So that's a little bit different. That's not the same as, you know, going against Will Campbell. But DeMarcus Lawrence against Will Campbell is not a great matchup for the Patriots because Lawrence is a power rusher, and Campbell has shown that he is susceptible to power. So my guess is that the Patriots will have a pretty good plan. I mean, they have had a good plan these last couple of weeks because I think they recognize that things are not good with Will Campbell right now. I'll be curious to see if they just keep working with him in the offseason or if they move positions. That's a fascinating one. My guess is that they'll believe he can just get better.
We're talking to Ross Tucker, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. He joins us here on 96.5 The Fan. Everybody is talking about the offensive line, defensive line. Everybody's mentioning JSN. Is there something that you feel like doesn't get enough attention here as we head into Sunday, whether it's a matchup, whether it's just a storyline that you find maybe more fascinating than what everybody's talking about right now?
Yeah, no. Well, two things. One is, and this is very, both of these things I would say are very relevant for you guys in KC. One of which is that it feels like there are four legit stellar coordinator play callers in this game. You know, McDaniels has done a masterful job. And maybe the craziest part is that Zach Kaur in like week two or three was all of a sudden named the DC because of the prostate cancer for Terrell Williams. And for him to be this good in his first year as a D coordinator is super, super impressive. Then on the other side, you know, Mike McDonald, I think he's like the Sean McVay of the defensive side of the ball right now. I think he's fantastic. And then obviously Clint Kubiak's been fantastic. So I think you've got four elite play callers in this game, which we've noticed is important. And both teams, it just feels like they had the Midas touch this offseason. You know, I think like kind of like the Eagles last year, I think a lot of times the teams that get this far, it just seems like they have one of those off seasons where everything works. You know, you draft Gray Zabel, he's awesome. You draft Nick Emenwuri, he's awesome. You bring in DeMarcus Lawrence, he plays great for Seattle. You know, for New England, even guys like Garrett Bradbury and Morgan Moses have played well. You know, they draft Will Campbell and who, for the most part, held it down, and Jared Wilson and the safety. It's impressive how many of their moves paid off this year.
Are you surprised by how poorly Drake Mays played in the postseason, considering how well he played in the regular season? I mean, he's an MVP candidate, and he has been as careless with the ball as anyone. I mean, almost as careless as C.J. Stroud during this postseason run. The fumble stuff, the interceptions, like, they are winning in spite of him in a lot of cases versus, like, Sam Darnold's case, who is maybe the single biggest reason they beat the Rams in the NFC title game. Are you surprised that Drake Mays played this poorly so far?
I'm surprised the Patriots are here with Drake May not playing better than he has. In fairness, they've gone against three of the top five defenses.
But that's also not going to change on Sunday, right? I mean, they're going to go up against another one of the top five defenses.
Correct. And the offensive line has struggled, but there's still no excuse for the turnovers that he's had, especially the fumbles, none whatsoever. And it's remarkable to me that they've actually gotten here with him doing that.
When you look at, like, I guess the way Patriots fans are, we were talking about this yesterday too, Ross, and you were talking about how New England fans are no good. I'm convinced that if Drake May lost this, they'll just turn on him like, oh, you don't know how to win? That they'll just be ready to turn on him at a moment's notice because he's not Tom.
No, I don't think that's going to happen. I understand where you're coming from, but they know what the last 5 years were like without a legit quarterback. And so I think you're forgetting how powerful the religion of young franchise quarterback is. People love, love, love their young franchise quarterbacks. They're very defensive of them in any list or ranking or whatever. Honestly, I think for some people, they care more about it than they do their religion.
Like, I guess from that, do you think Drake May's got staying power? Because over the last time, like, we did this with C.J. Stroud or Jaden Daniels, and there's still question marks with those guys now. So, like, 2 years is not going to decide the career of a quarterback. Do you feel like what Drake May does is going to last?
Yeah, I do. I mean, he led the NFL in completion percentage and yards per attempt. He has the mobility and a little bit of a, let's call it the it factor. And even, you know, with the turnovers, I mean, I think you got to give him a lot of credit for some of those throws he made against the Texans. Those guys made some terrific contested catches to help him with touchdowns, but still, it's pretty darn impressive what they were able to do with Drake May this year. I mean, I can't remember a team having that. Leading completion percentage and yards per attempt, it's wild.
We're talking to Ross Tucker, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Check him out on X or Instagram if you don't already, at Ross Tucker NFL. I know the headline, of course, is the Super Bowl on Sunday, but in Kansas City yesterday, you can imagine we were interested in the news out of New York where Matt Nagy's being hired as the team's offensive coordinator. What's your reaction to that? I think the narrative around Matt Nagy is fascinating to me because I feel like now we've gotten to the point where everybody just acts like he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. It's really bizarre how quickly the narrative is turned on him.
I don't understand that. I mean, he was a, you know, sought after guy when he was the OC the first time, gets the Bears head coaching job. Didn't they win like 12 games?
Yeah, they won
Mitch
the division.
Trubisky?
He went 12-4, 8-8, 8-8 his first 3 years and went to the playoffs twice.
Okay. And by the way, yeah, playoffs that next year with Trubisky, by the way. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, okay, Trubisky's not the guy. We got to draft a guy to get Justin Fields. He wasn't able to have a great rookie year with Justin Fields. Guess what? Justin Fields isn't good. You know, we've now seen that with three other coaching staffs. You know, so I don't know. Let's see how Matt Nagy does with a good quarterback. If in fact that's what Jackson Dart is, I don't know. I'm talking to him today, so I'll let you know.
Oh, you're talking to Jackson Dart today, huh?
That's right, Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Don't miss it. Speaking of which, I gotta go on my I gotta go talk to Will Gavin from the UK.
That was Ross Tucker. A busy schedule as an interview after interview. So we had a run there. As far as Jackson Dart, I'll be interested to hear that interview that he does with Jackson Dart and whether or not
For sure.
Ross Tucker is a believer or not. And that will be a huge determining factor in Matt Nagy. Ultimately, can he develop Jackson Dart? If he can, he's going to have a chance to be head coach again. If not, people are going to say, I told you so, and he will never have an opportunity to be head coach. Ross agrees that I do think the narrative has gotten a little out of control where now just everybody's acting like he, you know, Matt Nagy is a terrible offensive mind. It's, you can be critical, but it's gotten overboard, I believe. And that is, I'm not suggesting that I would want him back as the Chiefs OC. I'm just saying it's weird.
It sound like
it's
weird how much success
it has shifted, and everybody's completely forgotten what year one was in Chicago with Mitchell freaking Trubisky.
I think the first, and I don't know, like I heard, I think it was Marcus Spears on ESPN had said, he gave the QBRs for all the quarterbacks and when he's been the play caller, which means he is notably ignoring any season in which he's been involved with Patrick Mahomes because he wasn't the play caller. And when he listed off the quarterbacks, he didn't seem to understand that what he was listing off was a list of bad quarterbacks, not quarterbacks who had a bad QBR under Matt Nagy. Justin Fields, Mitchell Trubisky, a 37-year-old Andy Dalton. What are you trying to prove at this point? That they had bad QBRs? I don't care if Sean McVay was their quarterback coach. I don't think they would have had good QBRs. They're not good quarterbacks. And so because the time it ended up here in Kansas City, and I don't think it was a good fit anymore, I still think for Nagy, it's a great fit. But I also don't want to pretend like he has no chance of being successful there, because Matt Nagy has had success in the NFL with quarterbacks, including a young Patrick Mahomes. So I'll just see. And I still think that, you know, he got a head coaching job for a reason and a million other things. And yeah, I still think his time in Chicago gets talked about like he was the, like he might have had the same winning percentage as Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland. And while they both have had horrible quarterback situations, they talk about Stefanski like he's a genius and he's got it all figured out. And they talk about Nagy like he can't do the job. Can't even be an OC now.
I mean, he's got the He's got the opportunity to shut a lot of Chiefs fans up too. Like if he goes there and they run the ball effectively and Jackson Dart looks at least decent, I think that, I mean, a lot of the finger pointing that we've seen over the last 2 years from Chiefs fans will be, you know, you have to, and not that it matters, I suppose, because it's the Giants, but I think a lot of people have to kind of look in the mirror in terms of how you evaluate somebody and just putting the blame on one person when you really don't know exactly what all is going on.
Actually, Matt Nagy's win percentage is better than Kevin Stefanski's. Now, Kevin Stefanski coached multiple more years above him. Mm-hmm. Nagy finished his career as 34-31, 0-2 in the playoffs. Kevin Stefanski was 45-56, 4-46 below 500, 1-2 in the postseason.
All right.
So, like, why can't Nagy get talked about the way Stefanski is? Just be like, and look, I like Stefanski, and he ran a good offense. Again, he got Mitch Trubisky to a Pro Bowl. It's not like they were running some like garbage offense during that time.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I guess I think it's just very interesting how the narrative has shifted the way it has in the last couple of years.
I think it's because a lot of people think surely it can't be Andy Reid who's doing things. It's got to be the OC. It can't be. Andy Reid wouldn't be the one that's making these mistakes.
He
or
can't
not,
be screwing any of it up. It's just that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's tough. And I still think it was time for a change. That's what's so funny.
If you follow us on social, one, we appreciate you. You should if you don't. If you guys like interacting with us during the show and want to see what we're posting, sports or otherwise as well, at Cody B. Tapp, at Alex Gold, at Drew B. Nix. We've got our social channels, Instagram, TikTok now as well, and Twitter, X. And so I posted a photo yesterday from something we did a few weeks ago, full disclosure, which was we went out to the KC Curling Club, had a ton of fun. They were awesome,
curling
by the way.
Curling started today in the Olympics, by the way.
So yeah, curling's underway. Ooh. Opening ceremonies of the Olympics are on Friday. And so shout out to KC Curling Club because they took a good hour of their time to teach us and idiots learning how to curl and embarrass ourselves. And they were very patient. We had a ton of fun. It really is a lot of fun.
Good teaching lesson. It was so fun.
So there's going to be a video, we think, on Friday that you guys will see of us embarrassing ourselves. I post the photo. And in the photo, the one thing that we got the most comment on, Cody.
Was it our proper curling stance?
Nope. It was... Hey, how come Cody's the only one wearing a helmet? LOL, Cody. LOL, Cody. Why is he wearing a helmet? You were the only... Everybody else... Like, Drew and I did not have helmets on. Neither did our instructor. You chose to wear a helmet. Safety first for you, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I got things to protect in this world. I got kids trying to stay alive, you know? Safety first.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're mocking people for wearing helmets?
I'm just saying,
they
why did you feel the need?
To everybody.
Why did you feel the need for
it's
the
not
helmet?
Like I'd ever curled before.
It does come across, I guess the people who are complaining about the no helmet, it does come across as you were 15 years old. What are you wearing a helmet for when you're riding your bike? Take the helmet off, you know?
Yeah.
That's where it did come across as that, I suppose.
Yeah, just because I'm trying to protect my brain, good. I'm giving you just straight dome. Some of us have things we want to go home to, you know? I'm glad you guys live reckless with your lives. Don't even care if you die.
Here's the thing about the curling. Here's the thing about the curling ice. Now, I still, you'll see the video, I still fell on my ass. yes, but that ice is not like ice skating rink where like you can walk on it pretty easily. The reason why you'll see in the video, the reason why we fell, because the way you have to push off, your foot will slip.
You become a little unstable.
Yeah.
Because you're essentially sliding on a piece of like mat that puts you down on one foot. So you're kind of gliding across the ice a little bit.
Yes.
That's all. You know? From the 620, Cody, you're such a dork. All right, look. Oh, I'm sorry, wore a helmet. What a terrible, egregious act. They offered it.
We
they also said it was for my own safety.
We had a ton of fun.
Casey Curling Club. I'll tell you right now, I briefly, like, I had a moment that night. I was like, man, do I need to be in a league? I don't need any of this slow pitch softball. I'm 41. I don't need to be in some league that requires me to, like, physically hit. I don't want to go play in a wood bat league with Kramer. I'm not trying to do any of that.
Yeah.
Curling. It was a good time.
So yeah, definitely recommend.
It was a really good time.
Definitely recommend checking the Casey Curling Club out. And we'll have the video coming out on Friday. One last thing before we get out of here, and I do appreciate the texture. You're right. I did tease something. I do need to pay off the tease on something, so I appreciate
that.
I mentioned Todd Monken and the head coach of Cleveland Browns, and he said something that you just shouldn't say about another coach in the league. So Jim Schwartz and Todd Monken were both going for the head coaching gig in Cleveland. We all know that. They chose Todd Monken. Jim Schwartz, very upset, wants out of Cleveland now, reportedly, because if you don't think I'm a head coach, then let me go. So Todd Monken was asked about it, and he said this.
And I said this to the other guys. I didn't think I'd say it, but I'm going to say it. When I was preparing for the Cleveland Browns, I wasn't trying to chip Jim Schwartz. I was chipping Myles Garrett.
That's probably an uncalled for comment from Todd Monken.
Honestly, Schwartz wants to get run out of the building anyway. He doesn't want the job.
But basically, like, let's not give Jim Schwartz. He's basically saying he's not as good. Like, let's not give him too much credit. Myles Garrett is why that defense was great, which I do agree to a certain extent.
Do we know who the
Jim Schwartz might end up being the DC? If Vic Fangio retires, the rumor is he might retire with the Eagles. Jim Schwartz could go there, or Jim Schwartz could be the defensive coordinator for the Raiders.
So I'll say this. Is it an unnecessary shot?
Sure.
Is he wrong? Hell no, it's a player's game. Also, I saw a stat.
So you're here for it.
Yeah, I saw a stat here. I saw a stat earlier today. Last year, your team had a top 10 ranked points per game defense. Obviously, there were 10 teams this year, including the Chiefs. Do you know that the Browns are dead last? It has been 2014 since they last possessed a top 10 ranked defense. How good of a job was Jim Schwartz doing there? Other than getting Myles Garrett sacks, were they stopping people from scoring?
He also had terrible complimentary side of the ball.
The complimentary side of the ball was bad, but top 10 defense? I didn't say top five or number one. They haven't had a top 10 defense since 2014. Drew, I like the trash talk. This guy's saying I was great at the job, and
he's probably telling
people that he doesn't think that he deserves to be the coach over him. And he's like, I didn't game plan for Jim Schwartz. I game planned for Todd Monken. Myles Garrett.
The full quote, in fairness, for Todd Monken is a little bit more respectable towards Jim Schwartz. You know, he acknowledged.
So we never got the whole thing.
What's that?
So the part that was promoted was not the entire quote. I see.
Quote. It's been a. It's been. Can I say that? Can I say that on the air?
I don't know.
If you're not sure,
it's been a B to go against this defense six. It's been a bitch to go against the defense six times over the last 3 years. Schematically, and more importantly, the players, because ultimately it's a player's game.
That's correct. He's correct. It's not like, and again, I love Spags, and he might be one of the extreme examples of you worry as much what Spags is doing as their dominant defensive players are doing. But yeah, I don't worry about Schwartz versus Myles Garrett. We're not talking scheme. We're like, how does Myles Garrett disrupt everything we do, and how do we come?
The reason why
that?
The comment was uncalled for is because the situation of
he interviewed for the job, didn't?
But Jim Schwartz is going to either end up in Philly if Fangio retires, or I think he'll be the DC for Kubiak.
We already know the Steelers and Ravens DCs. If I was Schwartz, I'd be like, listen, let me get a piece of these Browns, please.
I don't know if we know the Steelers DC, Drew. I don't know.
If I was Schwartz, I'd be all over
on his ass.
Well,
what? They have the worst defense in the league.
Well, but they aren't going to fire Al Golden.
They're going to start playing Jamar Chase as a cornerback.
They fired Lou Anarumo.
He saw that play last night.
Because if anything I know, man, flag football game, I mean, it tells me everything.
Jamar Chase both ways down.
Man, didn't need to tackle anybody or get tackled because they couldn't. They couldn't.
George Pickens almost got hurt last night. He was like, oh, boy, playing on that turf.
Who was that Patriots running back who ruined his career in that sand flag football game? Anybody remember his
name?
Oh,
man.
I don't even remember what you're talking about.
He was a Patriots running back, true.
It's not James
White. He was a 1,000-yard rusher his rookie year. He was playing in a sand flag football game in a Pro Bowl game in a Pro Bowl in Hawaii. Tore up his knee. He was never good.
How long ago was this?
Early 2000s, maybe.
It wasn't Corey Dillon, was it?
No.
Because Corey Dillon was
Edwards. Robert Edwards, 1999, Waikiki Beach flag football game. Okay. He tore three knee ligaments. Was never the same. He missed an entire 99 and 2000 season. Nearly ended his career. He made a comeback to play in the NFL and CFL years later.
That stinks, man. 1,115 yards and 9 touchdowns his rookie season. He did not play again for another 4 years, and then never
That's
played
tough,
again.
Man.
Yeah,
Cody's out.
Get rid of the Pro Bowl.
Cody's out tomorrow. Bink will be in with me tomorrow. Cody's back on Friday. We'll see if Cody is wearing a helmet on this field trip or not. Hope you guys have a good rest of your day.
Hey, friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of The Preamble. Listen, I know you're dealing with a lot, and it's even harder to do it when the world around you feels chaotic. But I'm here to help. Each week, my expert guests and I slow things down to talk about the stories shaping our world, what's really happening behind the headlines, why it matters, how it all connects. And if you're ready for real understanding and maybe even a little bit of hope, follow and listen to The Preamble wherever you get your podcasts.